Okay, today's daf is Pei Zayin. We're going to start at the very bottom of Pei Vav Amud Bet from the words Itmar. Okay, so we saw yesterday that if you put the bones on the meat on the mizbeach and it starts to burn, and then the bones get kind of charred, right? But they haven't yet turned to ash. And they come off before chatzot, right? What did we say? The chatzot is the moment, if they're on while chatzot happens, the middle of the night, then they're considered already eaten by the mizbeach. And if not, they get taken off, then they're not considered, if they get taken off before chatzot, they're not considered eaten by the mizbeach. This is as long as they haven't become ashes, right? Once they become ashes, it doesn't matter the timing. But if they haven't turned to ashes, but they're kind of, you know, dried out, then it's chatzot that determines whether they're actually been fully burned or not. So now we're going to have another machloket relating to this. Pirshu kodem chatzot, v'hichziran achar chatzot. Oh, so what's the relevance, by the way? The relevance is that if they come off before chatzot, you have to put them back on the mizbeach, okay? If they're not, they haven't yet turned to ash. So now, what if you didn't put it back on the mizbeach, and now you put it back after chatzot? So the question is, again, assuming they don't turn to ash by the morning, at what point are these considered mu'ukalim, that if they fell off, you wouldn't have to put them back on to make sure they burn more?
I mean, if they fall off a second time?
Exactly. If they fall off a second time, okay? Getting into creative cases here. It's not the first time, and it certainly won't be the last. Rabba Amar, chatzot sheni ochatan. Just like chatzot of the first night was considered eating them up, you have to wait till chatzot of the upcoming night. In other words, only chatzot has the power, midnight, to be able to say, these are finished. These have been eaten by the mizbeach.
Sorry, I don't really matter. Suggesting that they just stay there all day, or that they put them back, they take right. them off and put
no,
them
so
back
No, so they put
on,
them
like,
back
the
after chatzot.
Burn.
I assume they just leave them there.
Yeah, okay.
That's my assumption. Rav Chista Amar, Amud HaShachar Ochaltan. No, as soon as the morning kicks in, that's already sufficient. In other words, if they're on from the beginning of the night and they never come off until after chatzot, so you're fine. But if they came off before chatzot and you put them back on after chatzot, then you no longer, as if you put them back on before chatzot, then chatzot, as soon as chatzot, the clock ticks midnight, sounds like the Cinderella story, right? They are considered consumed. But if you only put them back on after chatzot, then according to Rav Chista, as soon as the morning hits Alor HaShachar, the early part of the morning, that makes them finished. Why that time? I assume because that's the time that they, we'll see. He has another reason. But I think also he says it because that's the time when they would do the Trumat HaDeshen. Remember, they would come collect the ashes. That was presumably the end of the burning. So now we're actually not going to hear Rabba's answer. And Rabba's answer has a certain logic to it. The time is chatzot, so wait till the next chatzot comes in. On the other hand, it's not super logical because that's a long time. It's already the next day. So now we're going to explain Rav Chista's answer. Amrei Beirav, my time at Rav Chista. In the house of Rav, they said, what's Rav Chista's answer? What's it based on? Uma chatzot she'ein oseh lina oseh ikul. Amud HaShachar she'oseh lina eino din she'oseh ikul. He's now going to compare the halacha of lina to the halacha of ikul. Ikul means, right, that it's considered burned on the mizbeach, that its job is done. Lina is that you can't lean it, lo yalin chelev chagi ab boker, you can't leave it till the morning, which means if you leave over hektesh mead or blood and you don't sprinkle it, you don't deal with it, you don't burn the imurim in the mizbeach, right, if you leave it overnight, what happens? Comes the morning, it's disqualified. So he says like this. He says, at chatzot, we're going to call this meat consumed by the fire, even if it's not fully consumed and turned into ashes. If chatzot, which doesn't cause things to be disqualified, it's not considered, it went all night, and yet we're going to say it's considered devoured by the fire, then Amud HaShachar, which is this time that causes things to become disqualified, it kind of went all night, all the more so should we say that that can also be considered, if you left it on the fire, that it would be considered devoured. Now, the connection of these two things is not exactly the most obvious connection, but I think what they're saying is that certain times have a capability, they have a certain strength to them. The strength of Amud HaShachar is that it turns something that wasn't on the fire into disqualified, which means that if we kept it on the fire, it should make it qualified, so to speak, right? I think that's how to read Rav Chisda. Now we're going to have another case. Pirshu kodem chatzot, b'chziran la'achar Amud HaShachar. What if you didn't put it on by chatzot? In which case, Amud HaShachar clicks in, and of course it doesn't do anything, because they never made it back to the Mizbeah until Amud HaShachar passed. So if it was Amud HaShachar, Rav Chisda would have said, okay, it's considered devoured. But if you didn't put it back until after Amud HaShachar, now what happens? So Rava Amar, chatzot sheni o chatan. He's consistent with his first shita. You wait, so you know, put it back on the Mizbeah the next day. It's interesting, it's not disqualified by lina here, because you did actually have it burning on the Mizbeach at some point. Rav Chisda Amar, aim bahem ikul le'olam. There's no hope. You missed your chance, okay? Which kind of connects with what he said before, that there's this connection between lina and ikul. And here, since they were never mu'ukalim, you know, fully, then you can't ever fix them. Right, so the truth is what he means by Ein Bahem Ikul La'olam really means, if you look in Rashi, he says, B'chol shepok'in, if they fall off, yachzir, u'mo'alim b'en ad she'asu deshen. In other words, what does it mean, Ein Bahem Ikul La'olam? It means, until now we've been saying, there's two stages. There's where it gets very hard, we saw that word shriri yesterday, or there's where it turns to ash. So obviously when it turns to ash, it's fine. But what he claims is, since you don't have the Amud HaShachar to click in, because you missed it, because you only put it back on after Amud HaShachar, you're going to have to, you do burn it, you leave it on the Mizbeach to burn, but it's going to have a din of Me'ila, meaning you can't use it or do anything with it until it turns to ashes. In other words, you have to wait till it turns to ashes. It will never have this stage where we say, oh, it's hard, it hasn't turned to ash, but it's considered Mu'kal, and therefore there's no more Me'ila. Okay? So he basically has to say that we're skipping that step in this case. There's no such thing. It has to turn to ashes entirely. You have to burn it to the end. Matkif la Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef now has a question on both Rabbah and Rav Chisda. He says, Uman lemalan de chatzot b'rosh ha-mizbeach meshavi lehu iku. Dilma kol hecha de mishkacha lehu meshavi lehu iku. Okay, he says now, who's to say the chatzot is this magical time? And he says, he says here that, now he says something a little different. He says, who's to say the chatzot b'rosh ha-mizbeach is what makes it considered equal? In other words, what did we say? Till now we said chatzot comes, as long as it's been on the fire at the top of the Mizbeach, it's going to be, right, if it falls off, then Chatzot is no longer going to turn it into Mu'ukal. Right, that was our whole thing. If it fell off the Mizbeach, you'd have to put it back on, and if you put it back on at a later time, then Chatzot is no longer relevant. He says, why do you think that it's only Chatzot b'rosh ha-Mizbeach? Maybe, kol hecha d'mishkachu lehu, mishavi lehu ikul. Maybe wherever it is to be found, that's what mishkacha lehu is, it was shavi lehu equal. In other words, as long as it was on the Mizbeach at the beginning of the night, this is really like Cinderella, the clock hits 12, it doesn't matter where they are, they're now considered mu'ukalim. Okay, it sounds like a crazy shita, right? Because we assume it means it's burning. Not only does it sound crazy, but we're going to actually see the paskin like this. Okay? So he basically says, no, As long as you know, you started on the Mizbeach, if they fell off and they didn't go back on the Mizbeach, 12 o'clock hits, or well, midnight.
It's Chatzot, it's not midnight.
Right, it's not midnight, but it's... it is midnight. In other words, we think of midnight as 12, but midnight is really the middle of the night. So, right, it's the same word in English and in Hebrew, Chatzot from Chatzi, right? So the midpoint.
Half of the night.
So now we're going to see, Shalchu Mitam, they sent from Eretz Israel, Hilchataka Rav Yosef. They said, in fact, we paskin like Rav Yosef. And Itmar Nami, Amar Rav Chiya Bar Abba, Pirshu Kodem Chatzot, Vichziran Achar Chatzot. Okay, it's also said in the name of Rav Chiya Bar Abba that if they went off, they were fell off the Mizbeach before Chatzot, and you return them after Chatzot, Lo nehenin velo moalim. That's our way of saying it's only me'ilah midrabanan. Rabbi shouldn't benefit from it because the rabbi said adif not to get any benefit from it. But really, technically speaking, there's no me'ilah. Meaning that is once chatzot hits, there's no din of me'ilah anymore. Which in this, there's no din of me'ilah. That means that it's considered me'ukal. It's considered devoured, even though it wasn't on the fire at chatzot, and even though it's not ashes yet. Obviously, if it's ashes, there's nothing to discuss. V'chein Tana Bar Kapara, and also a Tana in the name the house of Bar Kapara said, Pirshu kodem chatzot v'chziran lachar chatzot yotzi midei me'ilah. So we now have a long list. We have Rav Yosef, we have Psach came out from Eretz Yisrael, we have Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, we have Bar Kapara, all saying against Rabba and Rav Chista that in fact chatzot, no matter where it is, as long as it started on the Mizbeach, it's considered, once chatzot hits, it's devoured by the Mizbeach, meaning that there's no din of Me'ilah anymore.
Me'ilah is getting benefit from something.
Me'ilah is, it's forbidden to get benefit from something that's hekdesh.
What benefit would you get from these? They're half burned.
You can use them for something. That's what we said before. You can make a knife out of something, right? Remember we said you could take these bones that are, you could do something with them.
Because it could also be the teeth, and you could do things with the teeth as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. You can definitely find some use for it. Okay, so now we're going to have the question. Amar le Rav Papa l'Abaye, v'chi me'achar d'shalchu mitam hilchata k'Rav Yosef, ve'amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, v'chein tani bar kapara. We have this long list of rabbis that all say that chatzot determines it, whether it's on the Mizbeach or whether it's not. So Rabba v'Rav Chista b'may plige. They now say, what on earth could Rabbi and Rav Chista be arguing about? In other words, they're basically saying, there's no way, now there is a way, but they say there's no way that they would disagree with all these other rabbis and be having a machloket about, you know, what would happen if it went back on after chatzot, when everyone else seems to think that chatzot is the determining factor whether or not it's on the Mizbeach. So what are they arguing about? So we now are going to understand the machloket is a little different than we thought. Amar le bishmeinim. They're talking about very fatty meat that wasn't considered shrirei. We saw shrirei was where it basically hardens and there's no more meat left on the bone. What they're talking about is, right, but it's not yet ashes. They must be talking about meat that's very fatty where the fat hadn't all burnt off yet, in which case then the question is, if those are not on the Mizbeach, they're not going to be considered me'ukalim, devoured, and therefore those are going to have to go back on, and then the question is, at what point will they be considered devoured by the Mizbeach? So we now change what we thought they were talking about. They weren't talking about something that's totally charred. They were talking about something that still had some meat or fat on it.
Time-wise, I don't see how it could happen. If you can't sacrifice after Shkia.
Right, they've been on the Mizbeach a long time. Well, I wonder if there were a lot of things to go on the Mizbeach, they took turns. They might not have been on there from the beginning. They might have to...
Right. Well, also, the way the fire works is if you have hot coals, they're very hot. If they burnt all night, you could see everything being ash by morning.
Like, no, you're saying the opposite. Why wouldn't it have turned to ash?
Yeah.
So you're saying it makes sense it turns to ash. Right, but Naomi's saying, how could it be they would be on the Mizbeach until Chatzot and not have turned into ash?
Because they weren't working after dark.
Right.
So that it had to have been finished during daytime or close to Shkia, so then it's at least a few hours until Chatzot.
I just think it's a matter of how much meat gets on there at once. And imagine if you have meat piled up, right? If you try to cook a ton of meat at once, it can take a long time.
Fire.
And there's nothing, it's not wrapped in anything, right?
No. I mean, it is possible. Again, also, here we're talking about it fell off. It could have fallen off right from the beginning. Could be nobody noticed and didn't put it back on.
That's the only problem.
Right.
You know?
Right. Imagine all the meat piled up. Some falls off. Okay. Right. It does sound strange it falls off, but on the other hand, if you have it piled up, it definitely is possible it could fall off. I imagine these questions are more relevant in the time of the Chagim when there are a lot of things going on. Okay. Ba mine Rabba me Rabba. Okay, Rabba now asks Rabba a question. Lina mo'elet b'roshosh shel mizbeach o eina mo'elet b'roshosh shel mizbeach. Does lina affect something that's sitting at the top of the mizbeach? Okay, we learned already lina. The classic case of lina is you have meat or blood or something that you left on the floor of the azara. And you didn't deal with it, right? So what happens? In the morning, it becomes pasul, right? That's called lina. What if it's sitting not on the floor of the azara, but it's sitting at the top of the mizbeach, okay? and you leave it overnight. So does it affect Lina, or do we say that the fact that it's on the Mizbeach already keeps it kind of fresh, so to speak, okay, and not Lina doesn't knock it out? Hechidami. So now they say, what exactly is the case that you're referring to? Ilema de lo yardu, if you're talking about something that stayed on the Mizbeach all night, hashtalanu ba'azara amar de lo yardu, b'roshosho Mizbeach mebaya, if something was nifsal, let's say something's found at the top of the Mizbeach that wasn't burned all night, okay? So now, if they were left to the Azara, what do we say? If they went on the Mizbeach, we had all these categories of things that you don't have to take off the Mizbeach. So if it was Nifsal Belina, and yet it was disqualified, right? We had a whole list of all those disqualified sacrifices that you put on the Mizbeach, what do we say? Doesn't have to come off. So if this sat on the Mizbeach all night, of course you don't have to take it off. It's a classic case of imalu lo yerdu. And this stayed at the top of the Mizbeach all night, so of course Lina wasn't posing. So what's this question? Lina mo'elet b'rosho shel Mizbeach o eina mo'elet? So now they say, ilim de lo yerdu ha'shalam azara amar de lo yerdu b'rosho shel Mizbeach mebaya. You're even going to ask that question. Ve'ela de yerdu, if you say it's de yerdu, okay, that must be the question. In other words, it was at the top of the Mizbeach until the morning, and then once the morning came, somebody took it off the Mizbeach. If they didn't take it off the Mizbeach, of course we don't have to take it off, because that's the classic case. Even with regular something that was mamash nifsal belina, we wouldn't have to take it off the Mizbeach, so of course this we wouldn't. But let's say someone took it off the Mizbeach, and here's the question. L'shulchan medamin ala, is it like the shulchan that sits in the echal with the bread on it? Now, what's going to be with the shulchan? If Lina was posel on the shulchan, what would happen to the lechem hapanim every night? It would be disqualified. And what do we know about the lechem hapanim?
It had to stay there.
Okay, so first of all, it had to stay there all day. But maybe you would say that's meant to be there all week long. But let's say you have old bread that wasn't taken off. So we have a Mishnah that says, Ditznan, afilu hein ala shulchan yamim rabim ein bekach klum. The bread, even if it stays there past the time it's supposed to stay there, it's totally fine.
But that also couldn't happen because they had to replace the bread.
It's true they replaced it, but let's say for whatever reason the bread ended up staying there. I don't know why it would have, but technically speaking, the Mishnah says it doesn't postulate because it's on the Shulchan. This is like a way of, you know, keeping something fresh. You know, Lina basically means it's disqualified. It lost its sanctification because you left it overnight. But if you leave it on a holy place, then it's okay. So now we're going to say, well, what kind of holy place? So is the Mizbeach like the Shulchan, where if you leave it on the Shulchan, it's never going to get disqualified? So likewise, you leave it on the Mizbeach, in other words, what does it mean it doesn't get disqualified? If it was there all night long, and then you took it off the next day, do we say, well, now you took it off the Mizbeach, and since Lina happened already, you know, it's bad? Or do we say, no, it kind of kept it going on the Mizbeach? So either we compare it to the Shulchan, or Odilma Lakarka Midamina. Or do we say, okay, how did I start out? I said, what's a classic case of Lina? You leave the blood or the meat on the floor of the Azara. Now, the floor of the Azara, we also know, has holiness to it. Remember we talked about that, that David was Mekadesh the Ritzpah? So here you see that if it's on the floor of the Azara, it does get disqualified. So the question is the Mizbeach, now here it's just an interesting theoretical, conceptual question, is the Mizbeach a kli like the Shulchan? Okay, like a...
Or is it a surface like
the floor? Or is it a surface like the floor because everybody walks on it? The Shulchan nobody walks on. But everybody walks on the Mizbeach. It's used like a floor and like a Shulchan. So where does it fall?
Yeah. Differentiate instead of by place, by type. Bread has a different status than meat or blood.
You could say that, but yeah. It's a good question.
It's a
but they don't think that. Because they view this as it keeps it... You know, kind of, I'm feeling like a hot plate keeps the food from getting spoiled, right? If you leave it off the hot plate, then it's going to get spoiled. And if you leave it on, then it keeps it fresh, so to speak, or might burn. But, you know, there's a fine line there. But you know what I'm saying? So the idea is that keeping it on the Mizbeach, the Shulchan, even once it's past its time, it shouldn't really matter whether it's meat or bread, I don't think. So they certainly don't think there's a difference. So that's an interesting question. How do we view the Mizbeach? Is it more like the Shulchan or more like the floor of the Azara? Amar lei, Ein lina b'rosh al shemizbeach. So Rava asks the question, and Rava with a hey, right? Rava with an olive, Rava with a hey answers him, and he says, there's no lina b'rosh al shemizbeach. Okay? Meaning, you put it on the mizbeach, it was there all night, you take it off in the morning, you can put it right back on the mizbeach without a problem. Kibla mine olo. So now they want to know, did Rava accept this answer of Rava, or did he not? You might wonder why they're asking this question, but obviously the answer is going to be more telling. They're going to show, in fact, that Rava did not accept Rava's answer, and he thinks that Lina is posel. B'rosh Hashem is bach, and now we're going to see how we know this. Tashma, let's learn from here. De'itmar, it was said, Evarim shelanu ba'azara, if you have Evarim that were left in the Azara, mikater v'holech kol halayla. Okay, you can burn them all night. One second. Right, what do we? This we're talking about. Second.
If they had Ola offerings.
Right, why would we be able to burn them? Yeah.
If you had Ola offerings that they didn't ever manage to get onto the Mizbech in the first place.
Okay, you could do it all night long. In other words, right? I don't know why they say.
But.
Shelanu ba'azara. In other words, I guess I don't think it means that morning hit. Right?
If they were kept overnight in the Azara, then you can continue burning them all night.
So at what point? In the
but
middle of the night?
You may not bring them up to the Azara, to the Mizbech after day.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were... Because
right,
they were
then they're disqualified. I guess...
But if they were... If they weren't,
I guess it's... The point
they
is... They were supposed... In other words, the issue is like this. You're supposed to do it until Chatzot. But the point is that you can continue doing it. If you didn't do it before Chatzot, you can continue doing it all night long. Okay?
But in contrast, you can't start
now,
after Olat HaShachar.
Right. You can't. That makes sense, because then it would be Lina. That's what I was confused about for a minute. Okay. So now we're going to say, but Lan B'Rosho Shel Mizbeach, but if it was left on the Rosho Shel Mizbeach, all right, that's what it means, Kol HaLayla, in other words, until the morning. But if you left it on the top of the Mizbeach, Mikater v'holech lo'olam, right? Then you can continue burning it forever, meaning it's not pasul in the morning because lina on the Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach is not pasul. Okay? Yardu, so now what if they were taken off? Rabba Amar Ya'alu. So Rabba says since they weren't disqualified because they were on the Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach, then, you know, you can put them back on. That matches his opinion. Rava Amar Lo Ya'alu. And Rava says, no, these do not go. You do not put them back on top of the Mizbeach because, he says, Lina B'Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach is posel. So if they stayed on the Mizbeach, so you leave them on because it's one of those cases of Imala Lo Tered. But if it was taken off, you don't put it back on. Shmamina Lo Kibla Mine Shmamina. So what can we infer from here? The Rava, in fact, didn't accept Rava's answer. And not only did he not accept it, but when originally he asked the question, by this point, when they have this source shows that he clearly decided to go with a different approach and he didn't accept Rava's answer. Why is it interesting he didn't accept Rava's answer? First of all, Rava and Rava do disagree in a number of cases, not as much as Abaye and Rava. And the reason is because Rava was a generation above Rava. He was more senior. He was, right? So he had a more senior position and therefore... Often, you know, kind of Rava would defer to him, especially here where Rava asked him his question. It's a little strange that he then went against him. Okay, now we're back to the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said, "Kishem shamizbeach mekadesh etara oilo." Just like if something goes on the mizbeach that's disqualified, we say you can leave it on because it sanctifies it. Kacha kevesh mekadesh. And then kishem shamizbeach ba kevesh mekadshim etara oilo. Kacha kelim mekadshim. So also the ramp. And also kelim, the clay sharet. Tanu Rabbanan, hanogea b'mizbech, ein li ala mizbech. Right, so we get that, okay, the pasuk says, kol hanogea b'mizbech yikdash. That's where we got this halacha from. It's shmo kavtet lam zayin. Anything that touches the mizbech will be sanctified. So how do we know about the ramp? Talmud lamar, et hamizbech. There's actually a big debate about which pasuk this is referring to, which pasuk where it says et hamizbeach. You can imagine et hamizbeach appears in a number of different verses, and there's a debate, there's three options of what pasukim actually show which pasuk of et hamizbeach we're referring to. But anyway, they say et hamizbeach comes to include, be inclusive of, you know, even the ramp.
Why? It's a direct object. It's like a direct object.
What?
It's used all the time.
What do you say?
Anything that touches Tamas Beach. Where do you get the ramp from there?
Right, so first of all, the pasuk is not about anything that touch. It says kol anugeh, excuse me, kol anugeh b'mizbech yikdash. It's not in that pasuk where it says et hamizbech, but it's a different pasuk. But we know that we've seen this many times before. Do we darshan et or do we not darshan et? Right, there was this whole approach. Do we darshan every keter on the Torah? Right, how much? So sometimes there are people who darshan et, even though you're right. Et is just used as a regular, you know, often you use the word et. So anyway, this pasuk that says et hamizbech, whichever one it might be, and they're going to say that comes to include also the ramp. The ramp is considered like the mizbech. Klei sharet minayin, where do we get klei sharet from? Because the pasuk says about klei sharet, among other things, kol anogeh behem yikdash. This is Shmot Lamed, pasuk kaftet, v'kidashta otam v'hayu kodesh kodashim, kol anogeh behem yikdash. So again, it seems to imply that klei sharet would be sanctified. Ba'a minei Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Klei sharet, ma'u sheyikadshu et ha'psulim. De klei sharet, sanctify holy things. So now, what we're going to... Okay, there's two different ways to understand this, but Rashi understands that right now Rabbi Yochanan kind of misunderstood Rish Lakish's question, and he thought that he was referring to the issue of if something becomes sanctified, then you can't redeem it with pidyon. Okay, you can look at Rashi, Amalei Tanitua, Dimikachim ve'ein lehem pidyon. Okay, and as they become sanctified and you can't redeem them. Once something's sanctified, you can't just redeem it and flip it onto a coin and take it off. So he says like this, Tanitua, how do I know that Klei Sharet, when he says Maoshi Kachua Tapsulim, he thought that what he meant was if you have something that's disqualified and you put it in a Klei Sharet, you can no longer redeem it and then take the money and bring what you were supposed to bring. So he says, Amalei Tanitua, let's learn it from here. Kashem Shamizbeach Kevesh Mekachin Et Hara Oilem, Kach Keli Mekachim, learn it from our source. So Amalei, Lechatchila Likaret Kamibaylei. I wasn't asking, do they have a din of pidyon or not, and do they become sanctified in that sense. What I wanted to know was, can I Lechatchila bring it on the Mizbeach? Let's say it was Pasul blood that was put into a Kli Sharet. Okay, so now, can I take that blood and, now what do we say? Imalu loteret. Okay, so if you put the dam on the mizbech, so you don't have to take it off, right, if it already got onto the mizbech, but let's say it didn't yet go on the mizbech. Can I say, well, since this went to a kli sharet and the kli sharet sanctifies it, maybe lechatchila I can go over to the mizbech and sprinkle the blood. Okay, can I do that? So, as Rish Lakish says, you misunderstood my question. That's what I wanted to know. So now they say, a different way to understand this question is that Rabbi Yochanan thought that what he meant was b'di'eved, and he's asking l'chatchila. Okay, now it's b'di'eved imalu lo yireh, but what about l'chatchila? So he answers him, ha nami tanina. That also we can learn from our Mishnah. Why? What does it say in our Mishnah? Shekiblu psulin v'zarku et damo. One of the cases where Imalu lo yared was where Psulim accepted it, right? And then, one second, I actually have to make sure, one second, the case there is, Mishnah, Vikiblu Psulim. I can't find which Mishnah it's in. Okay, anyway, there it says, Kiblu Psulim, one second, page all the way back. Okay, so it's all the way back. Okay. So, Imalu Lo Yerdu, right? So here's the list of Imalu Lo Yerdu, and then, Kosu Psulim Kodesh, right? Where is it? Bechutzim Kamo, here. So, of the list, Elu Imalu Lo Yerdu, okay, it's the first Mishnah we have in this topic. Halan, Vayote, Vatame, Vishanishchat Chutzimano, Bechutzim Kamo, Vishekiblu Psulim, Bizarku Et Damo. Okay, so, means Kohanim accepted the blood and sprinkled it. So, what do you see here? My love, Shekiblu Psulim, Bizarku Psulim. Okay, meaning that the same, you know, it has to be that both they accepted it and they sprinkled it. Okay? So, which means that if they just accepted it, then it would, right? So, according to this, if they just accepted it, then, right? Then, right. And it's only if it was both accepted and sprinkled by psul kohanim would we say imalu lo yardu. But what if it was just accepted by kohanim psulim? Okay, or it was, let's say, contaminated blood, right? Let's say, that would be our case. If it was accepted by kohanim psulim, and it was put in a kli sharet, what would that be? That would be a case of blood that was disqualified. And what would we say? Since the case in the Mishnah is kiblu en zerku et amo, so if it was just kiblu, but yet the zrika was done by kosher kohanim, it would sound like lechatchila, you could do it. So he says, learn it from our Mishnah, that lechatchila, if it's just that the blood's contaminated, but it goes into a kli sharet, sounds like it would be totally fine, right? In this case, the blood would be contaminated because it was touched by a kohen who was pasul, right? It was mishandled, so to speak. So now they say, lo, shekiblu psulim, inami shezarku psulim. In other words, it could be either or. It's one, it could be both of those cases. Either kohanim psulim accepted the blood, and then imalu lo yardu, or kohanim psulim sprinkled the blood, right? And then we would say, in that case, imalu lo yardu, which means only b'di'eved, but not l'chatchila. Okay, so when we read the Mishnah, we said that it could be read in both ways, potentially. And here's where we see it. That they thought maybe it was read in one way, which would say that only if both are if you have both processes, then b'di'eved, it's okay. But if you only have one, l'chatchila, you would be able to do it. And comes and he says, no, that's not a good answer. Okay, avir mizbeach ki mizbeach dame olo. Now we talk about that the Mizbeach sanctifies, the Ram sanctifies, the Klei Sharet sanctifies. What about the airspace of the Mizbeach? Okay? Airspace of the Mizbeach, is that considered like the Mizbeach or not? Tashma, let's learn from here. Kishem Sha Mizbeach Mekadesh, Kach Kevesh Mekadesh. Okay. The Mizbeach is going to sanctify, also the Ram. V'i Amart Avir Mizbeach, Lav Ki Mizbeach Dame. Avir Kevesh, Nami Lav Ki Kevesh Dame. And if that's the case, right, if we're going to say, okay, let's do it like this. If Mizbeach, the ramp is like the Kevesh. If we're going to say, the ramp is like the Mizbeach, thank you. The ramp is like the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, the Avir, is not sanctifying anything. Then you'd have to say the Avir of the ramp, the airspace above the ramp, also won't sanctify. If that's the case, what's going to be the problem? Hechi masik le mi Kevesh la Mizbeach. Havale Yarud. How would you be able to take, what did we say, that if something, let's say disqualified meat, comes in contact with the ramp, okay? And now it gets on the ramp. Now what do you do with it? Imalu lo yardu. So what do? You bring it up to the Mizbeach. As soon as you lift it to carry it up to the Mizbeach, what's going to happen? It's leaving the airspace. It's leaving the ramp itself. It's going into the airspace. If the airspace is not Kodesh, then it's as if you already took it off. And if you took it off, then you can't put it back on. You follow? Right? The whole thing is, if it's already on the Mizbeach, you can leave it on the Mizbeach. But if you lift it now to carry it up to the Mizbeach, you're now in the airspace of the ramp. And if the airspace of the ramp is not considered like the ramp, then you basically, it's as if you removed it from the Mizbeach. So therefore, they say it's a problem. So what are the answer? No, what would you do in that case? If you end up with this disqualified meat that comes in contact, let's say it falls onto the ramp, so you want to pick it up and bring it to the Mizbeach. Don't lift it. What do you do? Dinagadle. You drag it. Okay. This all works fine and good, but what do you remember about the ramp? Do you remember we talked about the Kohanim would throw the Evarim, and because they're supposed to throw the Evarim from the ramp to the Mizbeach, they made a little space in between the ramp and the Mizbeach. You can look in the Shanstein. I see you have a picture there where there's this very small space. There was a bit of a debate. Is it like a hairline? Is it a little thicker? But there's a little space there. Now, if there's that little bit of space, v'ha'avir yesh ben kevesh l'mizbeach, which means that even if you say that the avir of the ramp, that you drag it, at some point you're going to be in this empty, where the gap is, where at that point you'll still be over the Mizbeach, because you have the Yesod there, the Sovev there, remember that piece that juts out. So you'll still be over the airspace of the Mizbeach, but you won't be, even if you drag it, it's going to go over that empty space. So they say, no, that doesn't disprove anything, because Rubo lekevesh ki kevesh, Rubo lemizbeach ki mizbeach. Since at that point, how much of the animal or the meat is going over that little space? that as it goes over that little space, it's going to be judged as the majority of that piece of whatever you have is, and in which case, if the whole thing is being dragged and just a teeny bit is off, it's going to be fine. We're going to treat it like it was still dragged.
This is not a nitpicky question?
This is a nitpicky question,
okay.
For sure. Nobody ever said, you know, there aren't nitpicky questions in the Gemara.
Well, that only Rav Yirmiyahu can ask them.
Right, exactly. Tivshot meha, so now they're going to say, we should then be able to, once we say this, we should be able to answer some question that Rami Barchama asked. What's that? Ha debai Rami Barchama, yesh chibor le'olin olo. Tivshot yesh chibor. Okay, he had this question, which was, do we say, if we say that the majority of the item is on the Mizbeach, right, it's treated as if, as the way the majority goes. So do we say that, this is a question about something else. Let me just remember the question here about Chibor. Right. If this whole halacha was imalu lo yerdu, if something goes up on the Mizbeach, you have to take it off. What if the majority of something went on the Mizbeach, but some of it still wasn't on the Mizbeach? So do you judge the whole thing as one, or do you say, well, let's cut it here, whatever part touched the Mizbeach is going to go on the Mizbeach, and the other part, which didn't, shouldn't go. So now they're going to say, if we view this thing that you're dragging over that space, and we're going to say, well, that little space is judged by the majority, you should say the same thing by the question of Rami Bar Chama, that if the majority of something was on the Mizbeach, then even the rest of it, we're just going to say, can also go on the Mizbeach. So Tivshot Yesh Chibor, that we view this whole thing as connected. So they say, in other words, they're kind of viewing this as a question. That if that's so obvious, that Rubo Kekevesh Kekevesh, Rubo Kemizbeach Kemizbeach, which we had to say because we had no other choice to come up with, this was all, if we want to try to say that we can't necessarily prove that the Avir Mizbeach is Kemizbeach, and we can't prove that Avir, right? And it was all because we could say, well, in the case where you have something that touched the ramp and you want to bring it up to the Mizbeach, you'd have to drag it. What about it goes over that space? Well, you view that space as it goes by the majority. Well, if you're going to say it goes by the majority, then we can answer Rami Bar Chama's question, and the answer that should then be obvious, which I guess it wasn't so obvious because he asked the question. So now they say, lo, halokashya, tifsho. Why do you say that's a problem? Yeah, if we really say this, the rubo, you know, it goes by the rove, then yeah, we can really answer Rami Bar Chama's question and say, yesh chibor la'olim. Matkif la'rava barav chanan. But now he asks a question. He says, v'i amart avir mizbeach ki mizbeach dami. He wants to say now, if you want to say, and as until now we were saying the avir mizbeach is not ki mizbeach, but now he says like this. If you want to say avir mizbeach ki mizbeach dami, olat ha'of de pasla b'machshava hechi mishkachala ha'kalta mizbeach. Now he says like this. He basically says you're going to have to say that the Avir Mizbeach is Lav Kimizbeach. Why? Because when you have the Olat Ha'of, and you want to have a case, we know that Olat Ha'of, you can pasul by Pigul, you can have a Machshava, that you're going to, right, slaughter it, Chutzlil, that you're going to, you know, sprinkle the blood, let's say, Chutzlis Mano or Chutzlim Komo. So if that's the case, how can you have a case of Pasla b'machshava, because ha kalta mizbeach. Once the mizbeach was kolate, okay, assuming it's on the mizbeach, if you did, write the olat ha'of, where do you do the malika? At the top of the mizbeach. Which means that the olat ha'of is now sanctified, which means that, because according to this, right, if you're going to say chutz lizmano, okay, now it goes back to what we learned in the beginning of this year. If you want to say, you could basically say there's no pigul chutz lizmano now because you did the malika b'rosh mizbeach. If you're b'rosh mizbeach and you wait till tomorrow, it's already sanctified b'rosh mizbeach. Let's say you leave the olat ha'och on the mizbeach all night. You say, I'm going to, you know, slaughter this now, leave it on the mizbeach, and I'm only going to sprinkle the blood tomorrow. Well, that's not chutz lizmano, because we already said that if it stays all night on the mizbeach, then it's not a problem. There's no lina, right? And if it stays on the mizbeach all night, lina doesn't disqualify it. So you can't have a case of chutz lizmano, because if you say in my mind, I'm going to slaughter this, leave it on the Mizbeach all night, and then tomorrow sprinkle the blood, that's actually not asur. So, of course, it wouldn't make a pigul. So that's what he says. So he says, if you're going to say that the avir is kimizbeach, in other words, if you say the avir is not kimizbeach, so you're slaughtering it in the airspace of the mizbeach, but that doesn't bother us. That's not considered that it's bimizbeach, because it's only in the airspace of the mizbeach. So now, matkifla Rav Shimi bar Ashi, Rav Shimi bar Ashi says, no, that's not a question, because alama lo. Mishkachala, why do you say there's no case of pigul? You could have a case of pigul like this. Kigonda amar, hareini malka amanat lahorida lemachar ulahalota ulahaktiha. You could say, I'm doing the malika now on the count that I will take it off tomorrow, and then I'll bring it back and I'll burn it. And that will be chutz lizmano, because then once you take it off, again, we saw this debate. We're going to see. This is only hanicha l'Rava, remember? Because Rava said there's a good chazara of the beginning of the daf. Rava says, damar lina mo'ela perosh mizbeach. Ela l'Rava damar ein lina mo'ela perosh mizbeach. Leita l'machshavto. So we're going to say, according to Rava, what did Rava say? If it stays on the mizbeach, you're okay. But once it goes off, right, you're not going to put it back on. So according to that, if you have the intent that I'm going to leave it on all night, I'm going to take it off in the morning and then bring it back, that would be chutz lizmano. But according to Rabba, who said there's no lina problem b'rosh mizbeach, so his machshava is certainly not going to apostle anything. So what would you have to say according to Rabba? L'Rabba nami mishkachala kigon de'amar hareini mokam anat lorida kodem amud ha'shachar u'lahalota la'achar amud ha'shachar. Right? You would have to say there's a case of Pigul, where you have the machshava, you have the solada of lamala. Again, this will prove that what? You could still say avir mizbeach is mekadesh, but you would say, right now, I'm going to slaughter this bird, you're standing on the top of the mizbeach, almanat that I'm going to take the bird off the mizbeach before the morning comes, which means the morning is going to come and postle it, because it's going to be off the mizbeach, and then I'm going to bring it back on the mizbeach and do the sprinkling of the blood. So that would be a case of pigul according to Rabba. Okay, so depending whether you're Rabba or Rabba, that would affect what your case of pigul could be. Okay. To me, it seems like they're bringing this just so that we could do chazara on those opinions and make sure you got them straight about the Rosh mizbeach. Okay, so now again, we don't really know whether avir mizbeach is kimizbeach dame or not. Mia tifsho da avir mizbeach kimizbeach. So now they say, but in any case, we can derive that the avir mizbeach is kimizbeach dame. De isal kadata avir mizbeach lav kimizbeach dame. Because if you thought it wasn't, chatat ha'of psula hechi mazemi dama havale yahud. Okay, chatat ha'of that gets disqualified. Okay, what's the case? You do a chatara of l'shem ola, for example. Right? We already learned chatara of shalo l'shma is disqualified. So now, but yet we said imala. Right? You can continue. It's one of those things that if you already put it on the mizbeach, you're allowed to sprinkle the blood. So now, what's the problem here? How can you sprinkle the blood? Because as soon as you go, where do you go to sprinkle the blood? At the bottom, which means that it's slaughtered at the top, and then, right? You're going to have to lift, in order to do the sprinkling of the blood, you have to lift the bird up. As soon as you lift it, it's in the airspace of the mizbeach, it's no longer on the mizbeach, and then we'd say, oh, take it off, because it's already off the mizbeach. So basically, there's no way, or maybe we'll see there is a way, there's no way to sprinkle the blood, and as we know, you can sprinkle the blood, right, if it's already on the mizbeach. So as soon as you lift it to sprinkle the blood, it's going to be as if you took it off the mizbeach. And not only that, but sharp psulin hechizarek lehu midama. Right? All psulin, you're going to have a problem. Any pasul sacrifice, again, right, they always do the zrika, they're standing on the floor, the ones that are at the bottom of the chudas sikra. You're standing on the floor, you throw it against the wall, the blood may be in the airspace of the mizbeach, but over the yesod, but it's certainly not touching the mizbeach, right? So basically, it's in the airspace. It's in the airspace, and we don't view that as sanctified. Then, if it's pasul, it's contaminated blood, you're certainly not allowed to sprinkle it. And we already learned, imalu, lo yardu. So, what's going to be the answer? Dimagalehu. What do you do in this case? Okay, here's your cup of blood, okay, and you want to sprinkle it. So it's disqualified the blood. So you have to at all times have it touching the wall of the mizbech. Okay? While you're sprinkling it also, it's going to be touching the wall of the mizbech. Now they're going to say, ha, now with the bird, what would you call that? Do you remember with the bird there were two ways of doing the sprinkling? One was sprinkling it by the chatarao, and one was mitzvah, where you kind of take the bird and you squeeze out the blood. Now that you could definitely do on the wall. But the Gemara says, but for the chatara of, you're supposed to do haza'ah, not mitzoy. So if you're going to have it touching the wall, ha haza'ahi, that's not haza'ah, that's mitzoyhi, and that's not what you're supposed to do. And with the other things, if you're going to have the cup touching the wall and you're just going to tip over the cup and pour the blood while it's touching the wall, ha zrika, that's not zrika, that's shvichahi, that's pouring. Ve'od, some people say ve'od is another question, and some people explain this as, this is just defining the first question. Derech haza'ah b'kach, derech zrikah b'kach, this is the way you do haza'ah, this is the way you do zrikah, no way. So Amar Vashi, I did not get lihu b'rosh ha-mizbeach, ha-chanami. If really you're at the top of the mizbeach, then you're right. In fact, you wouldn't sprinkle the blood. Okay? Right? No, one second. Oh, sorry. No. I said this wrong. If you have it while you're standing on the mizbeach, in other words, here what are we talking about? The Kohen is standing by the mizbeach, right? So he is on the mizbeach, even though the cup is in the airspace, that doesn't bother us. The Kohen himself is standing on the mizbeach. He connects it all. Okay? There's two different ways of avir mizbeach. But the question is, when we said that there's a sefik, is that avir mizbeach ki mizbeach, ki ka'amar detalino bakanya, mai. And the answer is teku. And the thing is, what if you're standing at the bottom and you have a pole and at the end of your pole is the meat and the meat goes into the airspace above the mizbeach? And that's what he's basically saying is this whole question, you thought it was a trivial question. This is really a trivial question, right? How often is that the case where you're hanging? By the way, it could be also the coin standing on the floor and he hangs it over the airspace of the mizbeach. But if the coin's standing on the mizbeach itself, for sure we're going to consider this. The airspace of the mizbeach is like the mizbeach. The question is only, what if just the item is above the mizbeach, but the Kohen's body is not connecting at all, and then they actually don't know the answer to that question.